The views and opinions expressed on this show belong solely to the hosts and their guests and do not reflect the views of any on-site institutions unless explicitly stated.
What's up, everybody? My name is Steve Vandewall.
And I'm Justin Klosser.
And we're your hosts of Cannabis Cum Laude, a podcast devoted entirely to cannabis. We're going to talk cultivation, business, medicine, politics, culture, advocacy, and everything in between.
The cannabis industry is complicated. It's robust. It has a lot of moving parts. And it's our job to help you understand it just a little bit better. So tune in every week for a brand new episode. And if you have a question that you'd like answered on the show, send it on over to questions@cannabiscumlaude.com. Thanks. Enjoy the show.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode, or the second part of our episode with Joey Posner.
Posney.
I was thinking of Mike Posner in my head for some reason. Anyway, we talked a little bit last time about what it takes, you know, what exactly is a cannabis cup. You know, High Times has really been the major cup planners, and really have done a great job throughout the country and even throughout the world. Talked about the planning process that happens behind the scenes. And this segment, I really want to get down into, what is judging a cup? There are tons of products there, different types of products, different qualities. So, you know, on average, you know, before we get into judging criteria, we had talked a little bit about last segment about how you guys keep getting tons and tons of growers and judges, really. And the more judges you have, really, I think you can fine tune and really dial in what is the best product there. So to get an idea, you know, how many growers at like a big event do you usually have compared to how many judges that enter the cup?
So yeah, in California recently, one of our bigger legal cups, we had 228 total entries. Wow. Which is about 40,000 items that it comes out to. That's all individually stickered and just compliance level. And then we have about 1,873 judges, I think, is the last California market. So we have about 1,800 judges that will pick up their retail backpacks. We just started selling them on Friday, and they'll go pick them up if they're still on sale or not already sold out.
Cool.
So are those backpacks, are they all like High Times out, like swag, High Times swag bags, or are they just normal bags? Just curious.
Yeah, no. So we have backpacks basically have a full High Times logo on the back. And then we have the People's Choice logo on the side of it for these ones. But it changes depending on market. Oklahoma ones I hear are going to be pretty sweet. Haven't seen them yet, but yeah, excited to see those ones next.
It's got to be awesome to be able to switch up your product with every new state you go to.
Yep, and I bring them home all the time. So I literally have a collection of probably 30 backpacks at home now at this time.
Do you, kind of an unrelated personal question, you've probably had the awesome opportunity of trying tons and tons and tons of products. Do you keep like a notebook or a spreadsheet of what you've tried throughout the years and what you like, what you don't like? Just curious. I've tried to keep journals. Obviously, I have my spread over like 17 different journals and in my iPhone notes pads. But is there a way that you kind of keep track of everything that you've tried?
No, I do not. I think it's because like I just smoke and I enjoy it so much. I don't care about like putting stuff to paper, but like I got jealous of my girlfriend when I started with her. She has a full journal of that kind of stuff and writes all these different notes about it. And I was like, I couldn't imagine what I would have if I would have started this 4 or 5 years ago. Because like thinking in my head, it's insane what I've smoked and who I've smoked with, but like, I just live life. I don't write anything down too high, much. You know? Yeah, I like getting high and just smoking with people. Like, yeah, I love it. I love it.
So you said before that these bags are, they go to storefronts to be picked up and bought. Is there like a cutoff date when like it's you take them back, or do they stay on the shelves, or like is it kind of like the sooner you get there the better, or the more time you're gonna have to judge, or how does that work out? Because that was a question that kind of had earlier of like, if you're
I feel like there's going to inevitably end up being maybe, I guess I shouldn't say inevitably with a brand like High Times, but there may be some left over on the shelves. In that model, I'm curious how it works.
Yeah, so we typically price our kits really low, so they sell pretty quick. Mm. But there has been times where they do sit on the shelf. They start getting discounted for that side. But yeah, mainly it's just sold out pretty quick due to the cheapness of it and then overall market of where they're at. We put them into proper stores. Yeah.
Pick the proper... Wow, words are struggling today.
Yeah, partnerships and everything.
What does it look like to, you know, what are some of the judging criteria? I'm assuming the judges get some sort of scorecard. What are some of the different categories and criteria to judge these products?
Yeah, so basically in the flower categories, we have indica hybrid sativa. Then we also have a sun-grown category. Those are all based upon taste, visual packaging, and burnability. So if it has white ash or not, did it burn good? And then the overall effects of it, how long did it last? Was it a short-lived high? How was the high? Was it energized? Was it couch lock? They basically have a 7 or 8 question scorecard and then a spot for comments where they submit the comments. And if they're good enough comments, they're read off during our award show. With the product, the winning product. So that's how it's like kind of announced. But yeah, it's just a small scorecard on flower, and then edibles, they'll be based upon packaging, taste, effects. I forget the other ones that's on that one. It's been a while since I've actually submitted judge scorecards. I don't like to judge because I feel like it's biased, especially with having so many friends in every market. I don't like judging anymore. I just like smoking and getting high. But yeah, basically each category has its own separate scorecard. Vapes, how it burns, did it smoke well, the taste, and how the hardware actually hits compared to some of them.
So, go ahead.
I just want to ask a quick question because I might not have another chance to answer it or ask it. So I'm first premise this with I'm a huge proponent of plant and herbal synergy, and I oftentimes like to smoke different types of cannabis together and combine my cannabis products, right? My whole business is based on full spectrum wellness. But when it comes to objectively reviewing products, is there any sort of recommendation, like does trying products back to back prevent you from making an objective opinion because you have all these different highs going, you know, maybe your palate's a little bit different. How do you kind of navigate, you know, giving objectively judging, you know, when trying all these products, or does it really not matter?
I think it totally matters, especially when judging. So back in the day when we used to just sit around the table and everyone would either sit, does it pass the look and smell test and then it gets smoked? If it doesn't even pass that test, it's kind of to the side. I think as a judge, when I used to judge, I would literally smoke one judge strain per a day and actually judge that product. You can't judge fairly, I think, 10 to 15 strains in a day. I think it needs to be separate out each time. So taking one, giving its proper time to feel the effects, see how it feels, and then moving on. So I only used to do one per day when I was judging.
Okay. I what I was going to say before there was that I really like the that you read off people's comments. It really incentivizes them to give you good feedback on the card, right? Because then maybe their comment's going to be the one that's read with the winning strain. I think that's a phenomenal outlook.
Yeah.
Switching gears just a little bit. I'm sure this is probably more back in the day before you started being so adhering to all of the legal problems, but it might happen still. Do you ever run into issues with law enforcement?
No. I've only had one problem with TSA, but that was just like a lady that was really after me. Back in the day, in the medical days, I mean, we've had event shutdowns, but like, it's all in a matter of like, are they selling weed or do they have prices out on the table? So yeah, we're always just looking out for that. We shouldn't be selling weed at our events. They're all, it's in how they do it, more so, on those fronts. But yeah, now it's just, we follow the legal law as much as we can. But we haven't had any crazy law enforcement issues.
To kind of piggyback off of that and the other realm of things, typically not so much with cannabis, but humans in general, consumers could maybe get a little bit rowdy. What do you do for security situations? Do you have like a private company? Do you outsource in each state? How does that work?
Yeah, when we have our full-scale festival event, we have a security team that's our liaisons with High Times, and they actually are managing our security partner that we have in that market. So just like CSE event security, we have a team that works directly with us. It's like 3 or 4 guys. And then, but there's a full festival security team that's actually handling the security. Yeah, like you said, there's not much rowdiness that happens in a cannabis event, festivals, which is great. Everyone's just having fun. But yeah, when it gets rowdy and stuff, there we definitely have the full security as needed.
And then is that like a IDs at the door type situation as well? Make it like, do you have to make sure everybody's, is it 21 everywhere age, or is that just here?
No, you can get in 18 with the medical card.
Okay.
Just all depends on the market. And some people, there's medical markets that have the 18 card. So here in Vegas, it's only 21 and above, but yeah, other events, yeah, you can get 18 above.
So today's the day of the cup. I'm super excited. I got my Cannabis Cum Laude t-shirt, my Cannabis Cum Laude hat, my High Times pins, obviously, for my brother over here. Walk me through what happens on the day of the cup. There seems to be a lot of activity. Is it set up in a way where it's like, okay, you're going to sample 1 through 20, and maybe here's some music or here's some lunch. How does, you know, walk me through the day at kind of a high level?
Yeah, basically it's an event. So me, myself, I'm getting there early. I don't like lines. I hate lines. So I'm getting there early to avoid the lines. Back in the Michigan days, we've had literally 4-hour, 5-hour lines. So if you're a line person, wait till the end of the day to come, or wait until 10 a.m. to come, 12 a.m., you know, whatever. But yeah, you basically get in line, super stoked. And then depending on what band is playing, if I want to go over to the music stage or not, typically I'll have VIP wristbands. So you have a full VIP lounge. There's papers there, rolling trays, a full kind of just smoking area for the VIPs. And then you have like just all the vendors around. You're just basically going over there to shop. You can go and buy cannabis at, depending on market and what they do. But you can literally buy an eighth of weed and roll it up, or a lot of vendors and brands, they do cup specials or cup releases. So they'll drop their hottest new strains. Especially as a cultivator, definitely getting there early if I want to find certain genetics. Basically running over to their booths and buying the seeds from them before they sell out, because a lot of seed vendors and genetic people come out there and they do hot drops. And so if you're at those locations, you can get those hot new strains that are coming. So I'm basically running over there, getting their strains, and then basically finding someone to smoke with, going into the VIP section, chilling, find a little area, set up my dab rig, and literally just start doing torches and load up and start smoking with people, and then just chilling, vibing out. That's like the biggest thing of the Cannabis Cup, is just having fun, smoking with like-minded people is the bigger, I think, the goal of it.
Do you have a favorite kind of concentrate? Like the way it's processed, if you will. Say again?
Yeah, rosin.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
6-star hash rosin. That's a water hash. Yeah, it's all good.
Do you guys have like, you said there's music. Is there like food trucks, or do you ever have food trucks or caterers, or speakers?
Yeah, I wish we had street carts. I wish we had little street carts running around. But yeah, we basically have a full food truck village. We have 6 to 10 food trucks that are there, lined up, and there's a ton of people always waiting in line because it goes hand in hand, munchies and that. But yeah, we have a full food truck court, basically food court for our vendors, and it all has to be fire safety and everything with that too.
So how do you go about, how do you go about like deciding how many vendors you can, I mean, obviously it probably has to do with the space, but like, is it, are you cool with having competing vendors there? You know what I mean? Or do you kind of like favor, like if I have this lighting company, maybe we shouldn't have that lighting company come, you know, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. So, especially when it comes down to like breeders, of genetics and stuff, they don't want to all be put in the same row of people. So they work with our client services team, what kind of brand they are, where they want to be in our footprints. We'll have a map created for our, vendors and expo people. They will then either plot themselves and choose a spot and it will be next to whoever. But we try and figure out not like my or like brands being next to each other, unless they want to be. Sometimes they partner up as being a whole little village, with say 10 of the same brands, they'll be there. But yeah, they all just, they can be put into wherever they want on the map, and they talk with our client services team to handle that.
Cool. So there's probably like an agreement then that they have maybe as far as being vendors with you guys to make sure that they're staying compliant with the laws as well, or is it just kind of at their own risk?
Yeah, no, there's full vendor contracts and everything that they've written up. Obviously High Times has lawyers and kind of writes all that up, and yeah, just everything needs to be followed by the law. As much as we hate it, we just don't want the event shut down. We want to have a good event for everyone, safe event, and that requires us following the laws more than anything. It's not like back in the old days where you can just throw up an event and leave and not care about anything, but we have a full waste management program, that we have Clean Vibes is a big festival recycling team, and they handle all our trash. It's important, every level of parking. We have to work with like metro officers, making sure we have a good traffic control. Yeah, every level is worked through pretty much.
It seems like you literally need a huge team, a team to do this, because it's there's a lot of moving parts. You need venues, you need growers and producers and judges and all this stuff. It seems complicated, but I mean, that's why you guys have had, you know, a part of why you guys have had so much success for the past four decades.
Yeah, since 1974 the magazine's been around.
It's crazy. So obviously COVID put a damper in in-person events, and you guys were able to pivot and do some of the virtual People's Choice stuff. What are some of the next, and you mentioned you have an event coming up in Oklahoma, but what are some of the next big events coming up?
Pretty much we're literally waiting for cities to start approving permits so we can get back to the in-person event. Coming up in October, I think we're going to be having an MJ Biz Bash party. Sweet. Typical every year we do one with MJ BizCon. High Times does an MJ Biz Bash party. So we'll be looking forward to that coming back this year. But yeah, Oklahoma's the only one that's really on the books for in-person events and celebrating cannabis as a whole. We'll be out in Massachusetts coming up in August. Those will all just be People's Choice Awards. As fun as it is, but I really do love the in-person events. So can't wait for that to happen. Most likely 2022.
So what this event in Oklahoma then, is it going to be kind of like Old Cup style minus the judging per se, and they're going to be taking their packs with them and then judging later? Is that what I'm remembering correctly?
Yeah. So Oklahoma, we will be having a hybrid model. We will have a few hand selected judges that will be judging the product. But they're kind of doing the same thing. They'll go and pick up a backpack that's reserved for them. They take it home and judge. over the next 2 months, and then we'll announce the awards on a digital award show. But like the whole in-person is only going to be expo only. So we're going to be at a venue, and from genetic people to breeders to dispensaries, they'll be all having their showcasing their cannabis there. I'm not sure of Oklahoma's regulation.
I'm just going to ask you
if
that
it will be like for sale or not. But hopefully it is.
Do you know the regulations around COVID? Are like, can people outside of the state come to this event?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Oklahoma will be
beautiful.
Like it never even happened.
Yeah. So we are coming up down to the end of our hour, or the end of our second half of our show. But we want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything that you want to plug before we take off?
No, just follow along at It's a Joey. And if I could ever help you or give any sort of sources that get things cheaper to you or supply chain, I'm more than happy to help out a cultivation facility. I have a lot of great contacts in the industry, and I just give things away for free. So I'm never looking forward to anything coming my way. Just at least grow the industry and having fun. So nothing really to plug, but yeah, follow along. I always post my friends' stuff and support them. But yeah, just, I don't know, enjoy life. Just have fun with it.
Word.
Well, Joey, I'd love to get you to come back on maybe shortly after the Oklahoma Cup so we could talk about what it was like having an in-person event again, if you'd be open to it.
Yeah, totally.
Sweet. But other than that, thank you so much for joining us today. And listeners, elevate your state of mind.
Yeah. Thanks, everybody. This has been another episode of Cannabis Cum Laude. We'll see you next week.
Thanks to our friends here at Rockbox Recording and Production in Rochester, New York. They are a full professional podcast and video studio designed by a radio guy for podcasters. Audio, video, voiceovers, editing, whatever. Mouth off at Rockbox at rockbox.com.
You can follow Cannabis Cum Laude on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Cannabus. Type Cannabis Cum Laude into your search bar and you should be able to find us, but the links will also be posted in the episode notes as well. If you want to help support the show, head on over to Patreon, and that will ensure that we're able to keep the best quality sound and video coming to you on a regular basis. And if you liked what you heard today, please don't forget to rate and review the show.